Moncrief on News Talk.
TV on the radio.
Hold it there, cadet.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect the kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
You've got an Olympic gold medalist ice dancer that is retired. Come back the year before the Olympics, paired up with a new partner, and all of these teams have to deal with an Olympic champion coming back to their sport.
This has like never been done before, never been seen before.
It just seemed like such a, like a soap opera.
It's definitely...
Right, that's Glitter and Gold Ice Dancing. You can stream the entire series now on Netflix. James Dempsey is with us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
Is this like almost like an explainer for what you should look out for at the Olympics?
I mean, yes. I considered this a primer for the final of Ice Dancing, which, to be honest with you, I didn't even know was separate from pairs figure skating until like this came into my viewing.
What?
the first round of the final is tonight, and then the second round is on Wednesday. And now I'm really invested in that because of the show, right? So this is a documentary in three parts created by Katie Walsh, who is something of a journeyman when it comes to sporting documentaries, because she also made one about Simone Biles, the American gymnast. And it follows three ice dancing pairs in the lead up to the now running Winter Olympics. And they are Madison Chalk and Evan Bates of the USA, who would be considered the favourites. Then Piper Gillies and Paul Poirier of Canada, who are considered the like independent rebel ones. And then Laurence Fournier-Baudry and Guillaume Cizeron of France. Although it's more complicated than that.
Right. Okay.
Now, all in, what did I know about ice dancing? Tordal and Dean Bolero. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Right. But it is a very esoteric sport to begin with. And now I have a better sense of understanding of it. And now I have also people to root for. I am absolutely behind Team Canada and they're going to completely flop. Right. But like, this is just part of the ongoing Formula One drive to survive-ification of sport in the sense that, God, it turns out that if you point cameras at people who are really driven and passionate about like one singular thing and just explore that, it can turn into really riveting television. But what works really well here is, like, obviously you have kind of an international aspect of it, of, you know, jingoism, go Team USA, go Canada, go France, etc. But like, each of the pairs fulfills this sort of archetype as well, right? So Chalk and Bates, who would be considered the favorites, the US pair, they're a married couple, so there's like a romantic aspect to their pairship. Also, they've been world champions 3 years in a row, but they finished fourth at the last Olympics. And this is probably their last go around because they're aging out of the sport. So
okay.
The pressure is on for them to score. A lot is made of the length of Madison Chalk's skirt, in this case being too long. Then you have the pair from Canada. What's interesting about them is it exposes the kind of nation hopping nature of this sport, right? So if you are an elite ice dancer, particularly if you are a man, you're a hot commodity because there are far fewer of you than there are women. So it's not uncommon for people to sort of country hop and trade nationalities and join a team. So like Piper Gillies here is an American by birth, but has naturalized as a Canadian. And we learn how like there's a German and originally maybe an American representing Spain. You know, like as in they move around, and that's extremely common in the sport. And then the last pair are probably the most interesting. So of the pair of them, Guillaume Cizeron is the current Olympic champion. He won gold last time in Beijing. But he and his partner had this acrimonious split up, and he retired from the sport, as did she. But decided he wanted to come back, and he partnered with a Canadian who is now a naturalized French citizen, Laurence Fournier-Baudry, whose partner basically was Me Too'd out of the sport. So and you know, and it's even interesting talking to her, allegedly, I should say. It's interesting her talking about how, you know, she invested years into this partnership and then her career goes up in flames along with his career completely, you know, unjustly, allegedly, right? But like all in, it was really just interesting to learn the kind of nitty gritty of the sport. And then what I found also fascinating is they talk about the judging, right? So like, obviously I know nothing. Like, who knows anything about the judging? You're watching this and you're going, I mean, they didn't fall over, so how is something better than the other person? And what's really interesting is in ice dancing, you basically invite the judges to come and watch you rehearse in the lead up to the competitions. And they give you feedback on, well, you know, I changed this, I do this, I do that. And then you roll the dice on whether to accept what they take or to kind of go against them. And to some degree, I would see we see it work out for some pairs and not work out for other pairs. But then they create this number, right? They have two different nights of the competition. So the first night is the first night is a 1990s theme. So if you tune in tonight at 6:30, you're going to see them dance to like 90s music.
Okay.
And then ice dance, I should say. And then on Wednesday, it's their like short course or what, you know, it's the thing that it's freestyle. They can do whatever they want, but they do that freestyle for the entire, you know, season of their dance. So if it's going badly, you can just see the judges do not care for this. And yet what changes can we now make? Cause we're locked into the routine.
Ooh, yeah.
So I feel like I have such a better understanding of the sport. And like now I'm really, as I said, invested. And it's sort of like, that's what's kind of the marvel of the Olympics, right? Is in the Olympics come and go every 4 years, summer and winter. And depending on your time zone is usually how interested I get into it. Because, you know, if it suits your time zone,
yes,
it's very enjoyable. But like these esoteric sports that we see not frequently on TV can become unbelievably riveting in ways where you buy into them. And I'm not a sportsman, nor am I an ice skater. So this is an unlikely new passion of mine. And will it last long? No, it will burn out by Wednesday, by Wednesday evening.
The French couple that originally, are they back together again now?
So,
all right. Okay,
he and his original partner, whose name I do not know, but she is an Olympic champion, so give her credit, right?
Yeah.
They won in Beijing in 2022, and then they retired from the sport and had an acrimonious split. And everyone thought he had retired, but in the last year, he decided to come back into the sport, and he paired with this Canadian who is separate to the other Canadian team I mentioned here. She and her partner broke apart because he was accused of multiple allegations were made against him. So she decided to pair up with this French guy and moved to France and has become a naturalized French citizen, because in the Olympics, you can only represent a country if you have a passport. Whereas in the World Championships, you can actually, it's much more loosey-goosey in World Championships.
So it seems quite easy then, as long as you're an ice skater, that's your passport, literally your passport to get a passport.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's probably easier for them than it was for George Clooney to do all that. Okay, that's very interesting. And is it like a soap opera? Is there a lot of kind of niggling and passions and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's sort of intriguing because they, you know, where they train, so you have like these three teams pitted against each other representing different archetypes, but Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, the US team, and Baudry and Cizeron, the French team, they train in the same place and they seem to have even the same coaches. So it's all very kind of like everyone knows what's going on and we're trying to just have enough mettle and resolve to not make a mistake on the ice. That's how you win.
Okay. And are they all opposite sex couples?
They are only opposite sex couples.
I wonder, is that, what's the rules around that?
I don't know.
Yeah, there you are. Call yourself a fan of this sport. Right. Right, our next show is Memory of a Killer. New episodes every Wednesday on Amazon Prime Video. Here's a clip.
Let me be real clear, okay? You work for me. You'd be on the street if it wasn't for me. I made you. There's no extracurricular, nothing. You're not going near Moshe. You're not starting beef with the Bertolettis, all right? Now, I've always given you your space, your freedom, whatever. What you do, where you go, that's none of my business. You're a dark horse. Solo act. I respect that. I love that.
Okay, that's Memory of a Killer, starring Patrick Dempsey, the terrifying visage of Patrick Dempsey. He's playing two people. Is that too much of a stretch?
No, he's not playing two people. He's playing someone with who has two identities.
Yeah.
So he plays both Angelo Doyle and Angelo Flannery. And I'll start with Mr. Doyle. So Angelo Doyle is a top assassin for the New York underworld, and he goes around ruthlessly taking out whoever the plot needs him to take out.
Yeah,
right. But meanwhile, he also lives as Angelo Flannery. I think his names are a bit too similar. Angelo is kind of the giveaway. How many Angelos? Yeah. But anyway, right?
Irish Angelos are there at that?
So Angelo Flannery is a absolute family man in upstate New York who has a wonderful relationship with his adult daughter Maria, played by Odea Rush, and has lost his wife, who was previously murdered. But we won't go into details, right?
Okay.
But he, so into that then comes the fact that he also has early onset Alzheimer's. Which is an unusual twist, and this was based on a Belgian like a Flemish novel. I don't speak Flemish, so I won't try to pronounce it. But it translates as The Alzheimer Case, and that was itself turned into a successful Belgian film of the same name, which was then adapted in 2022 to a Liam Neeson starring kind of, you know, older man action movie, which I have no memory of even ever existing, right?
Yeah.
And then this was adapted into the TV show, and all in, like, for want of a better term, it is completely the least memorable TV show of the year, right? So
you had to go there with that phrase.
I did, right? Now, in and of itself, I think it's a victim of its own sort of premise, right? Because obviously Alzheimer's is not something to joke about.
Mm.
It's a very serious topic that affects, you know, many millions of people around the world. And it's hard to kind of, it's hard to wring a kind of sense of, I don't know, not straight laced seriousness out of that.
Yeah.
But the show is so po-faced and like self-serious that it really is kind of almost a parody of itself by the end of it, right? In the sense that, like, you know, two episodes in, what do we see of his early onset Alzheimer's? One day he's out on a mission and then he can't remember where his car is. And like, that's kind of it so far, right? Now, is it going to get worse? Probably. And of course, the whole premise of the show is that he is increasingly worried that someone is coming after his daughter, and he has to go back through all his various history of assassinations that he's taken part in to try and secure her safety before his
I think keeping records if you're a hitman is probably not a good idea.
Now, all in, it's a 10-part series, of which we are two episodes in. Who we heard in the clip there was the Sopranos' Michael Imperioli as Dutch, who plays his sort of, I don't know, fixer, boss, guy who gives him the missions, who's, you know, this fast-talking Italian, and but also a killer on the side as well. And again, I would say nothing about the show particularly struck a chord with me. The family drama was kind of not that interesting. The assassination violence was sort of rote and boring and not really shocking or interesting, or it didn't really have much going for it. And Patrick Dempsey to me seems like completely miscast in this role, right? Mm. So like, obviously he was this big kind of teen star in the late 80s and then had this massive breakthrough moment as McDreamy in Grey's Anatomy, which is perennially incredibly popular. I mean, he hasn't been in it in a long while, but like the show still finds an audience constantly, constantly, constantly. And he had this run then as kind of a romantic comedy leading man that maybe didn't go exactly where he was hoping. And now this is a new avenue for him. And to me, he seems utterly miscast. He just doesn't have a killer's face.
He just
doesn't have the gravitas of this like top marksman murderer guy. And then he kind of, I'm going to say, doesn't necessarily have the dramatic chops to pull off the Alzheimer's side of the story either. So all in, not for me.
Yeah. Also a hitman, but also has kind of a double life.
Yeah.
Isn't that the plot of The Day of the Jackal? That was that. Was
yeah,
that
exactly.
Last year?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right. No points for originality. Right. Lastly, The Sacred Vows. It runs Sundays at 9:35 on RT1, and you can catch up on the RT player. Here's a clip.
Have they no plans to meet me before I officiate?
Well, that's kind of my weird meeting.
What's lovely to see you both again after all this time, but I'd really like to get an idea of who they are so I could write a sermon that fits somewhat.
I don't think a sermon's a good idea. They're not religious. The thing should be more bing bang bosh.
Yeah, no frills.
The Ryanair of masses.
Love Michael O'Leary.
Right, that's the Sacred Vows. Are they explicitly saying it's an Irish White Lotus?
They're not explicitly saying it's an Irish White Lotus, but it is about a group of upper middle class Irish people on a holiday in a fancy hotel where it opens with a dead body.
Right? Okay, you can see, yeah.
So there are some comparisons to draw. And I have to admit, like, I want to start by saying I don't think this is a terrible show by any means, but I do feel like it's a missed opportunity.
Okay.
It's fine. It is absolutely fine, but I wish it was much better because clearly money went into making this, right? There is a large cast. It is all shot on location in Tenerife in the Canary Islands. And like to say that I feel like I have an understanding of who these characters are, you know, but I self-identify as an Irish middle class person. And where they film it, I went on my honeymoon, right? So like,
exact place?
Yes.
Okay.
I can see myself in this show, in this milieu. And I must say, these Irish people behave like no Irish people I have ever met in my life, right? So they, so John Butler is the creator of this. He's probably best known for the Irish film Handsome Devil, which I always say pretty vacant, right? But like, I didn't love it. And, you know, I don't love this either. And he creates a cast around this wedding. So it's set a week before, well, it opens, and this is not a spoiler, this is the opening scene. We find Tom Vaughan Lawler, best known as Nidge, as Father Vincent, floating dead in a pool, all right, Sunset Boulevard style. And then it flashes back 7 days prior and we are obviously unraveling how he ended up in the pool. And each episode follows a particular character. And that is sort of where my issue lies, right? So far, the opening episode is about the priest arriving in the Canary Islands and they put this priest who, even though the year is 2026, this priest seems to have come from 1988 in terms of his like styling and culture. He's played by Tom Vaughan Lawler, who I guess is maybe 50. I don't know how old he is, but like as in he is playing it as if he is a 75-year-old in 1988. And he is put into this house with a coterie of young people, indistinguishable from each other, who all drink and take drugs. With one nice one and one really bad one, shall we say, right? The nice one is played by India Mullen. The really bad one, I think, is played by John Hewson, son of Bono. And all in, they're pretty indistinguishable from each other, but it made absolutely no sense to me. Who would fly a priest over and then put him into the party house? No Irish people would ever do that in the world, right? Yeah. Now, secrets, of course, are revealed. The second episode involves Adam John Richardson, probably best known for his role as the gay brother in The Dry. He's playing pretty much the same character here. And like, even just, you know, I want to give a shout out to kind of even the most poorly plotted character of all is Karen, who's the youngest daughter. Like, if you remember back to the first season of The White Lotus, they had the teens who were, you know, reading like books and being obnoxious, but they were equally obnoxious in and amongst them, in, you know, in and of themselves. Whereas here, like I'd say she's named Karen for a reason. And like also she, you know, she basically is just might as well be sitting down with her like Greta Thunberg school strike poster for the amount of thought they've put into developing this like iconoclastic, you know, rebel teen, right? Mm. All in, it's not terrible, but it feels like such a missed opportunity because it doesn't, like, it's trying to be this comedy of Irish middle class manners with nobody behaving like Irish people would behave, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that therein lies the problem for me.
Yeah. Is it funny?
It is occasionally funny, right? It is occasionally risque, without a doubt. But like, you know, the risqueness, the humour is nothing you haven't seen before done better in other shows.
Okay. Those three shows are Glitter and Gold, Ice Dancing. You can stream the entire series now on Netflix. Memory of a Killer, new episodes every Wednesday on Amazon Prime Video. And if you'd like to see where James Dempsey went on his honeymoon, These Sacred Vows, Sundays at 9:35 on RT1. You can catch up in the RT Player. James, thanks a million,
as ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.